Everyone, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer period. If you would like to ask a question at that time, please dial star then one on your phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to turn your conference over to Mr. Andrew Schmidt. You may begin, sir.
Teresa, thank you very much, and Happy New Year, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and again, Happy New Year. Depending on where you are, it's either morning, afternoon, or evening. I'd like to welcome you folks to our first semi-annual 2013 Linux Distributor Update call. Today we have a presentation from two folks, from SUSE, Patrick Wally, who is the Alliance Manager at SUSE, and Kay Tate, SUSE ISV Programs Manager. Now, if you don't have a copy of the slides, I will give you the URL out in a second, so get a piece of paper and pencil handy. It's not that difficult to read off, so if you don't have it, it was in my email that I believe you all got yesterday, but just in case, I'll give you the URL in a second. I appreciate your attendance today. As I said, the slides are posted on the SUSE website. As Teresa had just mentioned, our call is being recorded, and we will put the MP3 replay up on their website within a few days, and that way you can re-listen to this call or show it to any of your colleagues. Now, we will have, as Teresa also mentioned, Q&As at the end of the call. So the website address for the slides is located at www.suse.com/partners/IBM, and just scroll down through the third section, I believe it's called Joint Solutions, and then you'll see a link for the call at that point. Again, www.suse.com/partners, with an S at the end there, /IBM, and underneath Joint Solutions on that page, you'll see a link to the slides, and that is where the MP3 replay will be posted as well. So without further ado, Patrick is going to start off. Kay will do a little bit of the middle piece, and then Patrick and Kay will be available for the Q&A as promised at the end. Thanks again for your attendance. Again, Happy New Year. I love saying that, 2013. Patrick, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Okay. So my name is Patrick Caroli. I am the Global Alliance Director for the IBM relationship here at SUSE. We'll start off on slide number two. So SUSE has been around for about 20 years. Our strategy incorporates three key themes: enterprise computing, cloud infrastructure, and integrated systems. We continue to focus on delivering enterprise-quality software and infrastructure platforms to our customers. This ensures that our customers can deliver their data and compute-intensive business-critical production workloads reliably and securely. But beyond that, we've been focused on the cloud infrastructure for probably about the last 3 years or so. We have offerings available in the IBM Smart Cloud Enterprise. We also have IBM middleware solutions available on Amazon EC2. If you're looking for more infrastructure as a service type solutions, you can obviously find us on other competing cloud offerings such as Rackspace. But SUSE is also starting to deliver our next generation platform, which provides the capabilities of an elastic on-demand and self-service cloud, both privately and in the hybrid cloud model space, and we're calling that product SUSE Cloud. It is available today. It is our infrastructure as a service offering, and it's made possible through commercial support for our open-source cloud infrastructure solutions based on OpenStack. If you want to learn more about OpenStack, feel free to reach out to me. It's pjq@suse.com, and we can tell you a lot more about OpenStack and what we've got planned for the future. The last area that we are focused on is integrated solutions, and this is an area where some of you as ISVs and developers might find interesting, and again, always happy to have a conversation about this, but because of the quality and time to market advantages, we're seeing a lot of enterprises are increasingly using integrated systems, and that combines the operating system with an application either in a virtual environment or with a physical hardware platform to basically provide a really short time to market. So SUSE, we've got some core capabilities which we've probably spoken about on these previous ISV calls, such as SUSE Studio and the Open Build Service, to make it possible for you to create very efficient virtual workloads or physical workloads that can be deployed as part of an integrated solution. We are currently using some of these capabilities to support some IBM customers through solutions like WebSphere Hypervisor Edition, IBM Smart Analytics System, Tivoli ISDM, and the extremely popular SAP HANA solution, which is a SUSE Linux exclusive. So we're going to continue to expand our capabilities and support the growing number of enterprises that are using integrated systems, and we hope you find an opportunity to build an integrated system with us and IBM in the future. So moving on to slide number three, give you a little bit of an overview about what SUSE has to offer. Again, we are a leading provider of Linux-based solutions for the enterprise. We've got over 15,000 customers supported by over 700 employees in 43 countries. It was back in 1992 that the first release of SUSE was actually put into production. And, you know, one of the things we're really known for is our rock-solid stability as well as our extremely large partner ecosystem. And that's why we find these calls extremely important to do, because we want to continue to grow that partner ecosystem and continue these conversations as often as possible. On slide four, we want to talk a little bit about what SUSE is known for and where our leadership positions really exist. So, you know, most of the market research firms see Linux as a two-player market, SUSE or Red Hat. And while SUSE might be ranked second in that market, it's predominantly ranked based on the x86 volume. And that's, you know, if you start drilling down into the market, you're going to see some real standout areas where SUSE succeeds. One of them, obviously, is Linux on the mainframe. We're still the market share leader of Linux on the mainframe. The second area you'll see is that we have 70% of all SAP applications that run Linux. We have 70% of that market. This also includes the HANA solution. Again, this is SAP's in-memory database. It is built on SUSE Linux Enterprise Server for SAP applications. We are the fastest growing and largest distribution in China, and that's paid Linux distributions. That's not the free market versions of Linux. We also lead about 80% of the Fortune 500 aerospace and defense industry. And, you know, one of the things we're really proud about, and you'll probably hear Kay mention a little bit about later on, is our ISV certifications. We started a really big push back in 2005 to grow out our ISV certifications, and we now have over 9,000 certified applications on our platform. And if you wanted to talk a little bit about Linux on SystemZ, we've got lots of applications there as well. So moving on to slide five, we'll wrap up our leadership discussion. We do lead in the retail and the automotive industry. In fact, we've got most of the automotive manufacturers as customers, both in the United States and in Europe. We've got over 14,000 certified devices for our platform. We've got over half of the Linux in the high-performance computing space, constantly ranked very high in Linux support. And we cover two-thirds of the Global Fortune 100 as our customer base. So these are all, you know, really extremely important talking points when we talk to customers, just to give them an idea of the customers that we work with. And on slide six, you can see some of those customers that we work with, customers like Walmart and Siemens, Southwest Airlines, Nomura, BASF, and Sumitomo Electric. I mean, these are large customers that we interact with on a regular basis. A lot of these customers you see here are SystemZ customers. A lot of them are x86 customers, so we're happy to support all of IBM's hardware platforms. Moving on to slide seven, one of the key partners we have in our software ecosystem is actually the open source community. We partner and collaborate with the open source community, and that is central to our business and how we operate. We lead with open source. We are open source first. We do not lead with proprietary software within the SUSE organization. Our active participation allows us to contribute and benefit from these communities. And the great thing about the open source community is the breadth and the scope of the skills of the community developers, which brings rapid innovation and benefits to our enterprise customers. There are a number of projects which we take a more active role in, such as OpenSUSE, the High Availability, OpenStack, LibreOffice, and YAST. And these are areas where we assume a greater leadership and sponsorship role, but we are focused on open source first, not developing in-house and releasing open source once we have it on Rails. That's not the way we operate. On slide 8, we'll talk a little bit about why customers choose SUSE. There are three main reasons we think that SUSE is a good choice for customers. No vendor lock-in, maximum choice and flexibility, which I think is my favorite, and enterprise quality. So from an open source offerings, the idea here is to build open source, build standard base, and minimize lock-in for customers. And this reduces their risks. And enterprises are increasingly wary about technology solutions that tie them to a single vendor. You know, they may have decided on a virtualization vendor because of their virtualization technology, and now they found that they're already down the road and locked into that virtualization vendor strategy for the cloud. Well, that's not the way we want to play things. We want to play things openly so that if a customer finds that a better cloud strategy works for them, they can adopt that. But obviously, we're going to help them provide a direction that they can trust in the future as well. The second area, choice and flexibility, you know, that really comes to us through you and through our partners like IBM. We do have a platform that supports over 9,000 ISV applications, and it's the customer's ability to leverage either their existing proprietary software or their open source investments to really maximize their workloads on the hardware and the software that's best suited for them. We're not going to move a customer down a middleware stack because it's our middleware stack. We don't play in the middleware space. We are strictly an infrastructure software company, and that provides the customer the choice to do what they want to do. So whether that's a virtualization engine, whether that is a file system choice, whether that is a hardware platform, we always provide the choice to the customer. One of the great things I always enjoy is when we go to conferences or we have roadshows and customers raise their hand and ask a question, 9 times out of 10, the response from our sales force is always, it depends, and it depends on what you as the customer want to do. So that's why we always like having these conversations with ISVs around creating that heterogeneous choice amongst our customers. Obviously, lastly, enterprise quality. Again, we've been doing this for over 20 years. We've got over 15,000 customers worldwide, and they are continually trusting us and challenging us to provide that enterprise quality software. So slide 9, don't want to spend too much time here, but this is our portfolio. I do recognize, obviously, SUSE Linux for System Z is what we're going to be talking about today. The goal of today is, again, for us to provide you some opportunities to think about where you, as System Z developers, and whether that's VME or ZOS or Linux on System Z customers, where you can start to focus some of your tools and some of your technologies to look forward to the future, because that's what this is about. We do these calls, you know, once or twice a year. A lot of times these are service pack or update calls. That's not what this is today. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the Linux growth, the Linux community, and, you know, what we at SUSE can do with you in the ISV community. So that's what we want to talk about today. But we do have a very full portfolio that focuses on infrastructure software, including virtualization space. SUSE Manager will take care of management, provisioning, and monitoring of solutions, many support offerings, and other solutions beyond System Z. All right, so let's transition on slide 10, moving through to slide 11. We'll talk a little bit about the Linux market. I like pointing to this slide, and I've used this slide before. And what I want to point out to you is a few things. So if you look at the bottom foundation of the triangle, you look at the left and the right side. One of the things you'll see here is that in 2007, the estimate from, I think this is Gartner, said that server expenditures was going to be $8.6 billion in 2007. When you look up the triangle here, what you see is that Linux in 2007 was very much focused, 55% of Linux revenue, was focused on network, edge, and infrastructure. And that's where Linux grew up, and that's where we found our niche. Only 30% was focused on things like cluster servers and web servers. And a very small percent was focused on mission-critical applications. Well, as you move forward into 2009, the server expenditures grew by $2 billion to $10 billion. You saw less and less Linux in the, as far as revenue is concerned, less revenue being spent on the edge and infrastructure network, and more being spent in that second generation area, which is the application servers, the web servers, the computational clusters, and more importantly, more and more revenue for Linux distributions being spent in mission critical enterprise roles. Now, these are things like ERP systems, SAP ECC opportunities, middleware solutions from IBM or Cognos solutions, things of those nature, is more and more consolidated into the third generation of Linux. And this is where basically the operating system grows into acceptance and maturity. So we can continue to expect that this will rise and continue over the foreseeable future. And what I want to point to as kind of a little bit of an evidence of that is if you look at the next slide, slide 12. So where we previously showed that the worldwide OS expenditures for Linux to be about $10 billion in 2009, if we look at 2012 on this chart, we see the OS expenditures at around $27 billion. It's huge growth, a huge jump, probably brought about a lot by virtualization and consolidation efforts. And what we see here is that while Linux operating systems may only have, 3.5% share in like 2011, the expectation is that these shares are going to almost double by 2016 with a compound annual growth of 17%. Now, if you look along that far right-hand column, the first thing you're going to notice is that there is no other operating system growing at a double-digit compound annual growth rate. In fact, with the exception of Windows, everything else is in decline. And the interesting thing is, if you look at the 2016 column there, Linux in general is expected to actually exceed both mainframe and Unix operating system share in that year. So we are seeing a constant decline in those two spaces, and we think Linux on the mainframe is a great opportunity, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the upcoming slides as well. So slide 13, Linux for the mainframe. So what this offers is it's an alternative to the x86 platform and also an alternative for Unix-based platforms. It's great for virtualizing Linux and Unix workloads. And it's our server consolidation solutions that help leverage the resiliency of the mainframe and lower the costs and the complexity and the downtime associated with those very large, very vast distributed environments. Linux on systemd keeps both the reliability, availability, and scalability benefits of the mainframe, but it also adds the flexibility and the robustness of Linux within that very robust platform. The disaster capabilities of systemd are also inherited by Linux on top of the systemd with no additional setup. And thanks to ZVM, server provisioning is done extremely quickly. It's done in minutes and seconds and not hours or days in some cases. Systemd and ZVM also provide very high-performance communication among the Linux instances and the other system components. And you can run these mixed workloads at very high utilization, and that's always been the benefit of systemd, is constantly running at 80, 90, or 100% utilization and really still providing the responsiveness that customers demand. If you look at the virtualized x86 or Unix infrastructures today, you very rarely see these machines able to peak and maintain customer demand above the 40 to 60% range. So Linux provides them a very, a great benefit that they can run these multiple workloads on a single processor and reduce the per-processor workload licensing costs. And this has always been a key foundation in our ability to sell Linux on the mainframe, is reducing that per-processor workload licensing cost. It's a very effective alternative to run certain ZOS workloads via an IFL for Linux, where it makes sense. And we're going to talk about what are those workloads that make sense for Linux on systemd, because not everything can perform well on Linux on systemd. Some things really do excel on ZOS, like CICS and DB2. But one of the proof points we want to see down here at the bottom, if you look at some statistics we've gathered, about 35% of System D customers in 2011 were running Linux on IFLs. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells me there's an untapped potential out there to grow Linux on System Z beyond that 35%, right? If only 20% of all the MIPS are using Linux, and that was an increase over previous years, we have an opportunity with the help of ISVs like yourself to identify new workloads and new opportunities to bring more workloads to Linux on System Z and continue to grow that revenue stream for you and for SUSE. And that's what this conversation is about, trying to tap into that untapped market of ZOS MIPS capability, or I shouldn't say ZOS because we don't want to take away from ZOS, but we want to subsidize ZOS with the additional capabilities of Linux on the mainframe, get more customers engaged with that Linux on the mainframe conversation. So let's talk to slide 14. So from an ISV perspective, what do we see customers looking for, and what methods can we help grow their environments? So most of the time what we're seeing is customers are looking to improve performance or reduce management costs through hardware consolidation. Sometimes it's also a deduplication of data effort. And when we talk about deduplication of data, what this is the fact that a lot of times the operating system doesn't support the data warehouse or the analytics solution that a customer needs. So what ends up happening is a customer ends up making shadow copies of their ZOS DB2 database and moving it over to an x86 platform so it could be manipulated by some sort of BI infrastructure. And that creates duplication of data. It also creates a latency into the relevancy of the data. And we want to try to avoid that by getting the workloads closer to the data. And Linux on System Z or Linux on the ZBX in the Z Enterprise space can also help do that. So this is one area where we see ISVs have the opportunity to capitalize on the growth of Linux. And I see it happening in a few different market spaces. The first place I see it happening, obviously, is in virtualization or this consolidated hardware infrastructure space. The second area that I see it occurring is, obviously, in the move to private clouds. The third area is in the area of analytics and business intelligence. And all of these together are ways that customers can consolidate hardware, remove that redundant software and data storage, and also improve service delivery to their customers by providing more timely, more relevant data and ensuring uptime and resiliency. So from a virtualization perspective, what customers need to find ways to access their current x86 or Unix infrastructures and compare them to a consolidated effort on System Z. A lot of times customers really don't believe us when we tell them that we can take the workload of 25 or 30 x86 servers and move them to Linux on System Z. So if you are a DVM or a Linux on System Z tools ISV, one of the areas where we could really use your help is helping customers identify really what those consolidation ratios are, help them to analyze their x86 space and their Unix spaces and see what those workloads would perform like on Linux on System Z. As ISVs in the Z space, a lot of you are well-equipped to build these types of tools to help customers understand this relationship, and we are always looking for more ISVs to help us out in that space. And one of the areas that actually moves you into is to start to have conversations to customers regarding the cloud. So for ISVs looking to move into the cloud space, the goal would be to help improve the usability, the reporting, and the self-service capabilities of those services running on either ZOS, ZVM, or Linux on System Z, and expand that administrative tools or the utilities that administrators use to manage the workloads across System Z or their distributed environments. And this is an area where you can, you know, move customers from distributed to virtualized, consolidated to the cloud by offering some of these self-service tools and capabilities. The next area we see as a continuing hotspot for Linux on System Z and in the industry is around analytics and business intelligence. And what this does is it provides ISVs such as yourselves the opportunity to find new ways to extract and analyze data that can coexist on the same system Z, but might be inside of DB2 or might be inside of CICS or SAP or Oracle instances, and leverage the capabilities of System Z and the hypersockets and the communication pathways that are available inside of System Z to deliver that information to users in an open or standards way. And this is really important to reduce, as I mentioned before, that redundant data. Also, the delay that those mirrors create in having, you know, stale or outdated data. So, you know, we think that there's always opportunities for ISVs working on System Z, like yourselves, to branch out into Linux on System Z. And the next slide, you know, talks a little bit about, you know, why you might want to do that. So when you look at slide 15, you can kind of help customers understand that while, you know, the proposition or the idea, I should say, of a mainframe in their environment might seem, you know, converse to the current growth of distributed systems, you can show them that, hey, versus competitive Unix or Linux or even Windows on Intel, Linux on System Z is an extremely affordable option. And one of the ways that happens is, again, it's that per processor software licensing and maintenance costs. And this here is a three-year TCO study of a web trading application cost and the reduced costs of Linux on System Z. Now, you'll see some changes, you know, from a competitive Unix perspective to a Linux on Intel perspective. Yes, the commodity hardware costs go very flat. Intel boxes are very affordable, but you need more of those boxes to, you know, do the computational work to provide the resiliency and the redundancy, and that increases your software costs. So you're replacing one cost with another. When you look on Linux on System Z, the first thing you've got to recognize is that IBM has done a phenomenal job over the past 6 years in reducing the cost of an IFL. The cost of an IFL has gotten extremely, extremely affordable. And then they also always have, you know, special opportunities to engage ZVM in those IFLs, and Linux on System Z can help you bring down that per processor software cost for things like Oracle, for example. And that's always one of the great places we see customers doing that migration. So while you say, you know, it'd be nice to move to Linux on System Z, but we can't justify this to our customers, well, here's just one TCO study. And there are lots more studies, you know, to focus in on. So in slide 16, again, where are we seeing the demand for Linux on System Z? Very often a single application doesn't make a very good candidate for migration or for Linux on System Z. In order to really reap the benefits, customers should consider migrating, you know, about 10, 8 to 10 or more mission-critical applications onto Linux on System Z. Especially if System Z server is where the application database resides. So the reduction in network infrastructure and overhead security costs are also reduced when you coexist your application with your database backend, if that database is running on ZOS or maybe an Oracle on Linux on System Z. You're going to see improved throughput, higher performance, network simplification, improved security. These are all benefits to these types of things. Now, applications that obviously interface directly with System Z are very good candidates to move to Linux on System Z, and ISVs should look to their existing product portfolios to determine if they have tools or skills which would be beneficial to customers who are growing their Linux on Z implementations. This could be anything from the reporting perspective, from security, from chargebacks or auditing capabilities, any of these areas where you might have solutions that work with on ZOS. These might translate well into opportunities for Linux on System Z. All right, so let's move to slide 17. I want to talk a little bit about the ZPDT. The ZPDT is the IBM System Z Personal Development Tool. What this is, it is a software-based solution which allows ISVs to use commodity x86 or 64-bit hardware to virtualize a very robust or emulate a very robust systems E architecture. This allows developers to build and test applications for systems E without access to the physical hardware. Now, every time I start this conversation on these calls, I'm always thinking that I'm talking to systems E developers, but there is the possibility that there are x86 developers out there in the space today. And if you've never developed to Linux on systems E, the ZPDT tool is an excellent tool. It's a USB stick and a software combination that allows you to use an x86 workload to basically emulate a full systems E. So you can see what differences or what changes you might need to make to your code in order to migrate your application to Linux on systems E. It's extremely flexible for individual developers from a test scenario or a very small scale solution. You don't have to have a dedicated LPAR. A lot of times developers think, oh, I need full rights and a complete LPAR to do my work so I don't disrupt anything else going on in the system. Well, with this, you can basically accomplish that. You don't need a dedicated LPAR. You can use ZPDT to do that development work without fear of causing any administrative nightmares on the other systems running on System Z. The ZPDT is also a very portable environment for training and educational purposes. So if you need to kind of get your sales teams or your engineers up to speed with Linux and System Z, this is another great way to do that. So what I want to do now is transition on slide 18 over to Kay Tate. Kay, as mentioned before, is the programs manager for our ISV team here at SUSE, and Kay is going to kick us off on slide 19. Kay?
Thank you, Patrick. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you happen to be listening to this. I'm going to talk a little bit about our PartnerNet offerings. SUSE and Novell share a partner program. We share websites. We've been increasingly populating these websites with SUSE-specific information so that we're trying to make it easier and easier for you to join up and then find exactly what you're looking for to partner and to easily use SUSE Linux and to get the benefits of partnership with us. The overall program is a value-based approach. It recognizes investment and rewards for both of us. We're really looking to create a win-win for all of our companies. As I walk through the first couple of charts, you'll see that we recognize different types of partners. And we recognize that the different types of partners have slightly different needs, different perspectives, different business models. And the program is designed to focus on those different kinds of things. It's designed to be adaptable. We also recognize that a single company may have multiple partner types. So it's designed to do that as well. On chart 19, you can see the overview of a couple of the key areas. One that we typically talk about is PartnerNet, is where most of our ISVs fit. There are different levels of partnership depending on our levels of cooperation, on exactly what type of partner you are, whether you want to resell SUSE or whether you want to participate, with us in marketing to different customers, especially System Z customers. Then we also have what we think of as our alliance partners. These tend to be more OEM partners who have specific types of contracts and are more focused on an appliance model or a prepackaged model that includes SUSE Linux. So as we look at the next chart, there's a little more detail on the different types of partners that are appropriate for PartnerNet. We have types of integrators. We have independent hardware vendors, independent software vendors, training partners, cloud service providers, etc. The next chart is a high-level summary of some of our alliance partner types that are typical. And the next chart, chart 22, is really where we get into a little more of the meat of the PartnerNet discussion. There are a couple of things to remember about PartnerNet overall. As I said, it's really designed to be a win-win situation for your company and for SUSE Linux, and also for our customers for that matter, because we all want them to have the highest quality solutions in their environments and the most trouble-free. There's no charge to sign up for PartnerNet. Typically, people come in, they sign up at the silver level, and it's pretty easy and quick to get signed up. You register yourself, you register your company, and then you're pretty much in. The membership, the training and enablement, the technical services types of things are geared to what you are looking for. You can pick and choose what fits your business model and your company objectives. The benefits are quite flexible. And the other thing is that our benefits are very complementary to the IBM ISV programs. If you participate in something like ChipHopper, where you're moving from an x86 platform onto System Z, we can then help you with our SUSE partner programs, get your build environment established, and get you no-charge access to SUSE Linux for System Z, which is, by the way, one of the key benefits that a lot of our partners want to use, so that you can then take the results of your ChipHopper experience, easily deploy it in your shop, and provide full support for a new customer base. Other benefits are helping you look for ways to expand your offerings, look at integrated solutions as may be appropriate, look at new types of cloud services, help you look at partnering with other types of partners, helping you advertise your solution in our SUSE Partners software catalog. And by the way, we have a new catalog that is under development that we hope will actually go into beta the first quarter of this year, with a lot more marketing opportunities for logos, for more links, for downloadable information, data sheets, for screenshots, lots of different kinds of things. So we'll be very interested in your feedback in that particular area for what other kinds of things would be helpful to you in advertising your solution to the SUSE customers who are looking for solutions on System Z. And also, this is heavily used by the SUSE sales teams. So sort of in summary, in looking at value, we're looking for win-wins. We're very interested in assisting you with no-charge System Z SUSE images to help you get your build environment established, help you as you're going to a new System Z customer. As Patrick mentioned earlier, there is a lot of SUSE in System Z Linux shops, and we'd like to help you make it easy to say, yes, I support that, so that you can meet their baseline expectations, the first question they ask you, do you support SUSE on System Z? And we want to align our resources with yours so that we can generate the maximum good result for all of us. Chart 23 is just sort of a quick reminder, sort of tying back to what Patrick mentioned, for any people who are not yet on System Z, who are on this call, but who are interested in getting there. to a very high degree, Linux is Linux is Linux. And this points out a couple of the areas where there are just very small changes. If your company acquires another company that enriches your solution portfolio, and you'd like to be able to offer that enriched opportunity on System Z, there is usually not much that needs to be done to move something from an x86 platform onto a System Z platform. They may have opportunities then to do additional tuning, use of hypersockets, special System Z kinds of things, but you can start to offer that in your portfolio relatively quickly because the structure of Linux on System Z is so much like the structure of Linux on other systems. So this is a little bit of a reassurance. The next chart, 24, gives you just a snapshot of our population in our software catalog of a number of solutions on System Z. You can see there are almost 1,900 of them. We have a good population of ISVs. We have more than 500. And this number is changing all the time. So it's a continuous growth area in the catalog. And as I said, we would really love to make sure that you are supporting through the Linux on System Z so that we can help you get into the catalog as well. You can either register your own solutions. After you join PartnerNet, there is an interface where you can come in and put your information in directly. Or if you would like to contact the SUSE ISV team, we can also help you get your information in. We have a little template that you can fill out, and we can all go from there. And at this point, I'd like to turn it back over to Patrick to continue with his discussion with a real-life example.
Hey, Kay, thanks. Kay, we do have a link at the end of the slide for PartnerNet, but you had mentioned that we've got an email alias set up for your team. Can you give that out real quick?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. It's SUSE ISV, so it's SUSE underscore ISV at SUSE.com. So it's pretty easy to remember.
SUSE underscore ISV at SUSE.com. Great. And that goes to your team if anybody has any specific questions or need more detail.
That's correct.
Great.
And we use the generic one so that no matter who's on vacation, we can always field your questions.
Vacation. Must be nice. Okay. So let's go to slide 25, and we'll talk about All One as actually a success story for this ISV relationship. Again, we're focused here as an ISV community to try and drive awareness of Linux and System Z. The hope is that you guys find opportunities either in the ZOS space or the Z Linux space to grow your space, your product offerings, or again, if you're in the x86 market and you've already got a solution and you want to take advantage of the higher RAS capabilities or performance capabilities of System Z, that's why you're joining these discussions. That's why we want to make this about opportunity and not about SUSE in general. But here's something that I wanted to share with you. So All One is a Taiwanese-based subsidiary of a larger company, and the parent company has provided IT services and software development for large banks and brokers since 2003. Now, they've got about 25 people that are focused in the creation and customization of financial software, and this includes software for foreign currency trading and financial analysis. Now, many of All of One's clients know the benefits of System Z, and many of those customers have been IBM System Z customers for a long, long, long time. And what they wanted to do was they wanted to take advantage of the capabilities of System Z, especially the transactional capabilities of System Z, and reduce the amount of downtime that banks would experience running the software on another platform. because, you know, a few tenths of a second in a late trade or a few seconds of downtime could cost millions of dollars in lost revenue. So what all one did was they reached out to SUSE and they reached out to IBM, and they wanted to see what it would take to get some of their trading applications and their trading systems migrated onto System Z. But they didn't have any prior experience developing for the mainframe operating system. So, you know, obviously they were really leery about this. Now, the one thing that played very well to all-in-one's position was the fact that they do a lot of their development for their trading applications in Java. And, you know, if you remember back to slide 16 when we talk about what are the applications that fit well on Linux on System Z, Java is one of those applications, because in many cases Java can run unmodified on Linux on System Z versus Linux on another platform, because a lot of it is running directly on the certified JVM. So All One chose to adopt SUSE Linux Enterprise Server for System Z as a new platform for their software offerings, working both, again, with IBM and SUSE to do any porting that needed to be done. We worked with them to provide them software. We worked with them to provide them some knowledge. IBM worked with them to provide them access, this was a few years ago, to a System Z for them to do their work. Nowadays, it could very well have been done on the ZPDT, again, that thumb drive software combination on an x86 platform. So here's a success story where the customer was able to bring their existing distributed space portfolio to Linux on System Z and get their customers to reap the benefits of the resiliency and the performance of System Z. Okay, so we're going to transition out now to slide 27. We want to talk a little bit about SUSE, maybe 3 minutes about SUSE before we open it up for a Q&A for the next 5 minutes. I'm going to move through these slides really quickly because I don't want this to be about SUSE, but I do want to say that we've been doing this for a long time, since 2000. We are still the leader in the mainframe market. We've got lots of embedded tools and technology that are included with Linux on System Z that make it really affordable for customers to take advantage of our solution versus competitive solutions. If you look at slide 11, this talks about some of the benefits of Linux on System Z from SUSE Linux 11 and SUSE Linux 11 Service Pack 1. We are now on Service Pack 2, so if you move forward to slide 29, you'll see that we are running the 3.0 kernel. This gives us lots of benefits over our competition because we are now able, with the 3.0 kernel, to take advantage of the CPU topology and instruction set for the Z196 and the EC12. We're able to improve single workload performances and workload consolidation ratios. In moving to the 3.0 kernel, we have not disrupted the user space, so any ISV applications that were supported on previous kernels will still be supported. We've got lots of, you know, enhancements and tool infrastructure support available as well for things like HyperTop, for ZVM guest resources, for CHIPIDs, and things of that nature. So I'm going to leave you guys on slide 30. I encourage you to visit SUSE.com. You can go to SUSE.com/partners-IBM to learn more about Linux on System Z. Please go to our PartnerNet program. It's partnernetprogram.com, or send Kay's group an email at SUSE_ISV@SUSE.com. Go and download a free evaluation copy of SUSE Linux. It's available at downloadlinux.com. Or if you have more questions, you know, feel free to reach out to me. My email's here and on the front page. So I want to turn it back to Andrew and Teresa. We can open it up for questions.
If you'd like to ask a question, please dial *1. If you need to withdraw your question once in queue, you may dial *2. Again, star one for questions, please. One moment, sir.
So while we're waiting for questions, I want to let you know, if you've downloaded this presentation from SUSE.com/partners/IBM, it is under the Joint Solutions section. It's the ISV call. But slide 32, all the way to the end, I think slide 50-some, you will see lots of features and capabilities that we've got available in Service Pack 2. So lots of detail on individual capabilities for our new Service Pack. And hopefully the next time we speak with you, we'll be talking about SUSE Linux Enterprise 11 Service Pack 3.
There are no questions, sir.
Okay, Teresa, thank you very much for hosting the call. And Patrick and Kay, thank you very much for your presentation today. As I mentioned earlier, I will be uploading or having our SUSE folks upload the audio replay of this call on that website that Patrick just gave the URL to, and I'll send out a note indicating the URL as well. Thanks again all for attending our semi-annual 2013 Linux distribution update call from SUSE. If there are any questions that you have that you weren't able to ask, or you were bashful, or you thought of after the fact, you can certainly get to Kay. She had given you her email address earlier, or if you'd like to get it to me, that's fine too. zisvq@us.ibm.com. Again, that's ZISVQ, all short for System ZISV Questions at us.ibm.com. Look forward to seeing you again on our next update call in the future, and thank you very much for attending. Have a great day.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time. Thank you.